The reason for asking Lucy to come and spend time this evening is that her story, I think, really helpfully grounds within an Oxfordshire context what we're talking about this evening. Lucy's a nurse who deals a lot with respiratory care, and as I say, both in terms of practical experience of working in the community and through hospital environments, but also through the research that you've done, Lucy. I know that we've had conversations in the past where it was very clear that when we looked at this video, it just tied in so nicely with what you're doing. And Rachel, it's lovely to have you with us here as well. Rachel's works in Sobel House as one of the chaplains at the hospice there. But many of us will come with different experiences, whether through the fire service or working in retail or wherever it is, where we have that opportunity to be with people. And so we're going to look to unpack some of this evening. So, Lucy, can you explain to begin with, what was it that led you to look in depth at this topic of being with?
Okay, so I did a course at Oxford Brookes looking at palliative care. So I did the Advanced Certificate of Palliative Care back in, I think, 2016, 2017. And one of the modules was about communication skills. So I needed to come up with a subject for my assignment of what I was going to write about. And I'd had an experience with a patient, and I considered that this idea of being with was a form of non-verbal communication. So, I wrote an essay, and that was what guided me mainly into looking at this subject.
Lovely. Thanks, Lucy. And I know that article got published in the Nursing Times and led to some more interest from the community of nursing and so on, which has, I know it's continued, hasn't it? Because I think the article was retweeted, so it's had that opportunity to sort of be appreciated within that environment of academic thinking about nursing. But in terms of the inspiration, what was it, or who were the people that perhaps, as you were thinking about this being with concept, were those that inspired you in that area that led you to the research in terms of the people?
So I had one patient that really impacted me. He was a gentleman with interstitial lung disease. I think some people know in the congregation that we sadly lost one of our dear elders to that recently. And it's a particularly nasty disease that causes fibrosis of the lungs. It's very a horrible illness to live with. And so I was looking after this gentleman and his wife, and I just, I guess I didn't, sounds really silly to say, but I didn't understand what my role was. I thought my role was to fix things, and his illness got worse and worse, and I kept going in trying to be Mrs. Fix-It and think, oh, well, find better drugs or find a referral for this, that and the other and someone to help you, and it never quite worked out at all. And in fact, he was so anxious, he could not accept that he was dying, that his anxiety had a massive impact on his breathlessness, and it felt like there was nothing I could do to improve things. He just, it just felt incredibly futile. I actually visited him for 18 months and didn't go weekly all the time, but towards in the last sort of 9 months went sort of weekly, and I got to know the couple very well. But I had a growing sort of personal sense of hopelessness and failure, and I got I felt very very sort of disempowered, really, and just thought that this is not, I had hoped he might come to some acceptance and understanding of his position, and he didn't. And I do some work for hospital at home on a Sunday evening, and I mean, it was all of this was very, God-led, really, because at 7 o'clock one Sunday evening, they phoned and said, "He, you know, he's basically really bad." So I went out and they saw me and they said, "Oh, Lucy's here, you know, she'll be able to sort of help." And he had a respiratory rate of 60, so he was like, you know, every second was like this. And I gave him all the drugs I could give him and nothing helped. And basically, it was very, very distressing. I stayed with him from about 7 o'clock at night until he died at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was dreadful. And I want to say that, you know, I've been with quite a lot of people who've died, and you know, death is not normally like that, but it was horrible. And so I was devastated. I felt like, you know, it was, and I suppose he was my friend really, because, you know, him and his wife I got very close to, and so I felt, you know, uncomfortable that I felt like I felt. I thought I'd got too close. I felt a bit of a failure really, and but then when I went to his funeral, his wife was keen to sort of introduce me to everyone, and I've sort of almost treated like a bit of a celebrity, and you know, everyone's like, "Oh, so you're Lucy," and I genuinely was a bit taken aback by all this, because it felt kind of like, I don't know, I just felt very uncomfortable with it all. And I just sort of questioned to myself, you know, what was it that I did? Because it didn't really make sense to me, because it was dreadful, and it wasn't good. And so doing this course gave me this amazing opportunity to study this area in more depth. And, you know, I really think if I hadn't done that, I would have still been left with this rather sort of perplexed feeling. So I discovered the work of Dame Cicely Saunders, who I don't know if any of you are aware of, but she was the most incredible woman. Basically, she was a nurse, she was an almoner, and then she was a doctor, and really pioneered this idea of presence in nursing and being with. At the end of World War II, she, where there were no drugs left, soldiers were dying, you know, in pain and things, she had nothing to give them but herself. And she did, and her presence, she was made sure none of the soldiers were on their own, and she had this immense kind of sense that being with people at end of life was so important. And at this time in medicine, death was very much of a failure. You know, she talks about sort of doing ward rounds and, you know, doctors sort of closing doors and saying, "Oh, we won't go in there. That's one, you know, not a, you know, one we want to sort of dwell on." And death was very much sort of painful and, you know, not a difficult thing in every which way. So Dame Cicely Saunders set up the hospice movement, the first hospice at in London, St Christopher's, in 1967. Doing this assignment, I discovered a lot about presence and being with, is the other description, in nursing. And I discovered that it wasn't surprising that I struggled with it, because nurses don't always embrace it. Even nurses in hospices can avoid difficult conversations. They, you know, our desire to produce sort of bright, optimistic environments it feels sort of the right thing to do. And although I think that is the right thing to do, I think allowing these difficult conversations and, you know, dark times is really important as well. I think nurses, we do like to do for, to fix it, to kind of come up with solutions. If someone's got a problem, we want to sort of help them. That's kind of our natural tendency. And I think as well, nursing presence is very difficult to measure. You know, we're in a culture where we work towards sort of quality initiatives. We need to sort of tick boxes, and actually you can't really measure presence. So I think it can get overlooked quite a lot as well. I mean, looking through my research, I discovered that being with isn't a soft skill. It's actually an expert skill to combine holistic care with, you know, meeting those needs of the individual. And, you know, Cicely Saunders talked about the helplessness, vulnerability, and being unable to fix it is what connects us to individuals. And I think, yeah, being able to accept that and sort of go alongside someone is actually really hard, because, you know, as Samuel said in the video, we want to be the one that sort of sorts things out, and actually just to be alongside someone sometimes doesn't feel enough. But I guess with that man and his wife, they felt it was enough, I suppose.
And Lucy, so Dame Cicely Saunders putting nursing presence right at the heart of nursing as a significant skill and something to be applauded and put into practice. You obviously did your academic research, but you're in a position of influence as well within your team. Mm-hmm. How have you sought to apply what you've learned academically and through your experience with that patient into your nursing team in terms of practice?
Well, I've had a lot of conversations supporting colleagues who have struggled with this issue. When people have respiratory problems, they can often be very protracted. I mean, you know, COPD especially, people can have it over years and years, and it can feel that we have very long relationships with people. And, you know, I've got one particular colleague, and, you know, this gentleman wants him to go every single week, and he just said to me the other day, I just feel it's futile. And I, you know, referred back to this work and said, you know, he is very lonely, this man, and actually you going is not about you changing his inhalers or whatever, it's about you being with him. So I think that was helpful, reminding him of that. I think I'm more mindful in my own relationship with individuals about relationship over task. I think, you know, sometimes in nursing we can look at tasks and think that that's what they are, but actually I think the relationship we have with individuals is as important as what we're doing. You know, I think there's a lot of lonely, isolated people out there, and you know, we all need to feel that affirmation of being with someone. I mean, I've tried to raise the profile of this to management to support it as a priority. And yeah, I'm encouraged, as you say, on Twitter and other sort of forums to know that this is something that doctors and nurses consider to still be very important. So I mean, there are barriers to achieving it. I think, as I said, the sort of measurable outcomes, time pressures. I think there is a big personal cost as well for individuals. You know, I did feel incredibly vulnerable at that time, and I, you know, there isn't a great supervision network in nursing, maybe there as there is in, I know psychologists have very good support networks, but I think nursing we do tend to just get on with it. But I think there's also not a lot of communication skills training either. I think there's an assumption that nurses are people that can just do this, but really I think you need to be supported in doing it. You need to be able to facilitate, and it's actually, as I said, quite a kind of complex thing to be able to do. So I think needing that time for reflection is really important.
Lucy, I think in the same way that you're looking to support your team of nurses, we want you to know our support as a church, because I think what you're doing is, you know, out there during the week, you are being a presence and you're being a witness, and you're bringing light to people at very dark times. And I'd like to pray with you and just for you to be affirmed in what you're doing, Lucy, because it's a great work. So let's pray for Lucy together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you call us at times to go out into challenging environments and to make a difference. And Lord, I thank you for this combination that has come with Lucy's experience, her academic research, the opportunities for the research to be picked up through social media and so on, and the team opportunity that she has to be an influence on those who are going out doing this work day by day. And Lord, we want to affirm Lucy in what she's doing. And we want to thank you for the skills and the gifts that you've given her to bring all this together and to be an advocate for being a presence and for being with. Lord, as she goes out and as she has meetings with team and with management and seeks to continue to move this forward in whatever ways you would lead her into, we pray that she'd know your strength and know our support and the value of what she's doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.